years old. Who's 12? I know you'd all like to be back that age. No responsibilities, just, you know, go out and play all day and do whatever. Anybody who's about 12 years old want to help me? Who's volunteering somebody else? That's what normally happens, isn't it? Who would like to be 12 and would like to help me? Hey, come on in. How you doing?
You all right?
Great. Excellent. Come over here. Okay. This guy's called Elisha. Is that all right? Okay. I need somebody else who's a little bit older now. Hello. No, bit older. No, not you, Andrew. I said older. Some people just want to get on stage, don't they? Just stay over there, all right? You'll have your opportunity one day. Okay, somebody's a bit older. Brian Abel. Come on, Brian, come down. Round of applause for Brian. How you doing? All right. You're fit and healthy, aren't you?
Yeah.
Cool. Was that your card about the house?
No.
The dream house? No.
Not yet.
Okay. Cool.
You
now,
I'm on about 20 now, then, do
right. You're going to be Elijah, okay, and you're Elisha. Now, just keep your eye on these guys. I want to tell you a little bit of a story as we go, but then we're going to have a few more people up here to just. Yeah, you're Elisha, okay, S-H, and you're the one with the J in it, all right, Elijah. Older, younger. Got it? Are you at uni? We had a little bit of thing a while ago, didn't we, about university students? You're supposed to be bright, okay? Maybe you should go to the women's conference, your future is bright, that's what. Okay, anyway, let's not go there. Right, a few months ago, some of us were in a meeting. All the staff, we had a few days where we were meeting, and we had a time of worship, we were meeting with God, and different people began to pray out in different ways. And at that moment, I didn't particularly feel anything in the meeting. Some people were praying out really passionately, and at that moment, I didn't exactly feel a lot. But then one of the other guys stood up and really began to pray out and call on Jesus to just to come and to really move. And I think all of us at that moment heard the sound of, this was up at Roffey Place, heard the sound of a wind coming from behind the building. And I heard this wind and I thought, man, what is that? It wasn't a windy evening, but the wind blew, and then it was as if the wind was in the roof of the building. You could hear the roof creaking, and I daren't look up at that moment because I just thought, if I look up, the roof's going to be on fire. So I heard this wind, but this sense of God is in the place. And then the next thing, I felt like a bolt of lightning, if you like, just go through my body. And suddenly, the only phrase I could use was, it was as if I was in the Spirit. You know how John in Revelation turns around and says, you know, it was as if I was in the Spirit. I turned around and saw. And I don't have many of these sort of things, but this is one of those occasions. And I was suddenly in the Spirit, and what I saw was everything in the spirit realm. I saw lots of angelic beings, but I also saw a lot of demonic beings as well. And it was like the top half of me was in the Spirit, but the bottom half of me had my feet on the ground. And as I watched what was going on, it was as if I was standing there looking at all this stuff, but also in this vision, it was as if I was back here something, looking at myself in the vision, watching what was going on. And as I was standing there, I realized that everything in the spirit realm saw me. They knew who I was. And it was as if they knew me, everybody, whether it was angelic, whether it was demonic. And I heard this voice, it was God's voice, but I heard this voice just commanding things. And whenever I heard this command, I would just say the same thing and command in the same way. And every time I just commanded whatever I heard, all these angelic beings were released into, you know, with the power of God. And all these, if you like, demonic beings were then fleed. You could hear them crying and screaming, but fleeing. Then I would hear something else, and I would just declare or decree or command whatever I heard, and things happened, things changed, things were shifting in the spirit. And as that was going on, I then saw not just myself, but all of us as a church, all standing there in the spirit, and all of us heard things, say a one-line thing or two words, and all together we then commanded these things, or we decreed these things. And as we did that together, the scale or the level of what then happened was even greater. There was a greater dimension of God's power released and a greater fleeing of enemy kind of activity. And it was like we were dictating or we were controlling the traffic in the spirit. And as this was going on, it's like God began to speak to me in the middle of all this. You know, when you kind of, you know, when you meet with God, something happens, doesn't it? And a lot can happen in a few moments that would take a long time, like it takes longer for me to explain it than it actually did when it happened. And at that moment, God was saying to me, you have a call on your life and you have an anointing on your life, and there is a certain position that you have to stand in to do with the call and the anointing on your life. You stand in the spirit and it represents something in the spirit realm. And God was talking to me as a church, everybody individually, but also as a church, we all have calls on our lives individually. God has anointed us with the Holy Spirit, but we also as a church have a call and a purpose in God. And therefore, there's a position that individually and collectively we have in the spirit, because God wants to determine things around our locality, our region and our nation and beyond, to do with the call and the anointing that he's placed on our lives as a church. And therefore, with that anointing and with that call comes responsibility to stand in that place in the spirit, to then do whatever God says, command, declare, decree, release the purposes of God, okay? And it was like God described it. It's like there's a mantle, a cloak of authority, or a mantle of authority on your life as an individual because of the call and the anointing. But there is a mantle, a cloak that is upon your life as a church. And that cloak and that mantle represents the authority of God to do with the call and the vision and the nature of what God has put in us to see happen locally and beyond into our nation. Now, just to involve these guys for a minute. Now, Elijah was a prophet. He was a man of God, and he would bring the word of the Lord to various kings that he was the prophet to. But he would bring God's word, God's direction to the people of God, okay? Now, I didn't have an old cloak, so I've just got a good old England jacket. Now, this can be your cloak. You don't necessarily have to wear it, but you can if you want. Not Man United. Get out of it. I've got a confession to make. Okay? Is everybody listening? On Friday morning, whilst my family and I were in Manchester, we went with my brother-in-law, Alan Morton, and we looked around Old Trafford. We went to Old Trafford and we did the museum and the tour. And the Lord said to me, by faith you possess this place. And with wisdom you will produce kingdom life in there. And so as we were walking around, we, in the name of Jesus, we claimed this place to be packed full of people coming to praise God, coming to worship God. Amen. That it won't just worship a bunch of millionaires kicking a bit of plastic around on a bit of grass, who are robbing the poor to feed the rich. But, sorry, it's a bit political, wasn't it? But a bit of Ben Elton coming in there. But those of you who know who he is, anyway. But it was like you can just see that place packed full of people coming to praise God, people coming to get saved, people coming to worship. Amen. You know, I really believe that the football stadiums around our ground, our nation, are going to be packed, not to go and see a band play, not to go and see a football team play, not just to go and see the latest speaker tripping around the world do his thing. But I believe that we're going to see the football stadiums of our nation filled with not because any named person is going to be there doing something, but because it's the only place that contain the amount of believers that to get together, to praise God, to worship. You know, people call that place the theatre of dreams. And, you know, God wants to meet people so that not their natural dream, but the vision that God has for their life is going to be fulfilled. Amen? So, anyway, I just needed to confess that I, you know, went there. And anyway, but we kind of claimed it and possessed it for the name of Jesus. Amen? Anyway, sorry. So this cloak he's wearing, it represents the mantle of authority, the anointing upon his life, okay? And in Luke 24, when Jesus said to the disciples that he was going to leave them, he said, go in and wait for the Holy Spirit to clothe you from on high with power, okay? Now, this doesn't just represent a position, it represents the authority of God, it represents the power of God. And this young guy, Elisha, was the servant of Elijah, okay? Now, this guy had raised people from the dead. He'd spoken things over people's lives. There was a widow who had nothing left, no food left. She had a son. And this man, Elijah, spoke to her and said, the flour won't run out and your jar of oil won't run out as long as you continue to use it. It won't run out. And she had flour continuing. She had this oil continuing on. And on and on. There's miracles like that that this man performed in God's name. Okay? So there was a mantle of authority and power. Now this young guy, Elijah, was his servant. And he would just care for this guy, look after his needs, be there for whatever he needed. But there was going to be a point where Elijah was going to be taken up to heaven. And something needed to be passed on to this young guy that he could run with the mantle, the anointing. But God wanted to do new things through this younger guy. And so as time passed, it got to the point where Elijah was going up to heaven, and Elisha began to realize Elijah's going to go. All the prophets that were around were saying to Elisha, this guy's going to leave you, this guy's going up to heaven. But they were doing it from the point of view, we're going to lose the authority of God. We're going to lose something because this guy's going. But Elijah knew, if I stick close to this guy, if I stick with him, wherever he is, wherever he goes, if I stick with him, then I wanna have what he's got on his life. Okay? Because this represents the authority of God. It represents the call of God, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And so he wanted to hang on close to this guy. Now, four or five times, this guy said to this guy, I'm going to go off to this town. You stay here and wait for me. But the response from Elijah was, there's no way you're going anywhere without me because I want what you've got on your life. Okay? Why? This guy understood. What was he talking about? He understood that what Elijah had on his life represented this position in the spirit to do with the call of God. And whatever this guy commanded, declared, or decreed in God's name happened. Amen. Now this guy understood that. He saw this anointing and the call of God on this man's life in operation. And so he knew that if I stay with him when he goes, I want what he's got. And so every time this guy said, you wait here, he said, no way, I'm not staying here, I'm coming with you. And so Elisha stuck to Elijah like glue. Cool. Pirouette, dancing. Can you guys waltz or anything, you know, do the old... Anyway, right. So it came to that moment when Elijah was going up, and he said to Elisha, what is it that you want? Now, Elisha was bold. He knew exactly what he wanted. There was a boldness in Elisha because he said, I want a double portion. I want an unlimited portion of what you've got. He said, I recognize you've got the anointing of God on your life. You've got the authority of God on your life. You have got God on your life, and I want that, but I want an unlimited measure of what you've got. That's bold, isn't it? God loves that kind of boldness. He loves it when we understand what he's placed on our lives and we are not slow in coming forward and being bold, saying, God, I want to see that operating in my life in an unlimited measure. Okay? Because Elisha understood if he was going to move in the call of God and do the things that God was putting in his heart, because he already understood that God's hand was on his life. It didn't just happen when he got this cloak on him. He knew that God wanted to do something with him. And so he knew he needed that authority and that mantle on his life in order to see it happen. And so as Elijah, do you want to take the jacket off? As Elijah, he said, well, you're going to have to see me go if you're going to have what I've got. Now, as he, we can't kind of do this, but as Elijah went up and the chariots of fire and horses came and got him. How are we going to do this? Anyway, as Brian went through the ceiling and through the roof, the cloak fell to the floor. Just imagine the chariots of fire and horsemen and all that kind of stuff. The mantle, see, a prophet in those days wore a cloak, okay, not an England jacket, a cloak, okay. They need anointing, don't they, the footy team, but they wore a cloak which represented their authority, the fact that they were a prophet. It represented the mantle of God on their life. And so this now was on the ground because the man who was wearing it had been taken up to heaven. Now, Elisha could have looked at that and thought, well, he didn't give it to me. He didn't lay hands on me. He didn't bless me or anything. It's on the floor now. What do I do with it? Now, he could look at that cloak that represents the authority, the mantle, the anointing of God, and he could just look at that and say, cool, if I could pick that up, I could have everything that Elijah had. But do I dare? Do I dare not? What do I do? The prophets were all wondering what was going on because they'd all just seen Elijah go up as well. So they were wondering what's going to happen. They're saying, where now is the God of Elijah, you know? And Elisha, because he was bold, he wanted that unlimited measure. He went and picked up the cloak before he put it on. He then went over to the river and he whacked the river with the cloak. Do you know? That's why I didn't wear my suit jacket this morning. Okay, just to... He whacked the water and the river parted and he walked across it on dry ground. And what he did, he picked up the mantle, the anointing that was upon his life, and not just to wear it, but he used it. So he could just wear it and well, I've got the mantle now. But the first thing he did was he used what was given to him. Because he understood it wasn't just something that, well, I need anointing so that I feel good, or I need the presence of God so, okay, I feel like I'm all right now. He wanted what Elijah had because he knew if I get that, I'm going to use it. Because the anointing or the mantle or the authority of God is there to be used for the purposes of God. And so he understood if I get this on my life and I use it, I'm going to stand in the Spirit, in the place that God has called me to, and things are going to happen in my nation because of the position that I stand in with the anointing of God on my life, because it's like a mantle that comes on, it fits, it's supposed to be there. Yeah. Amen. Amen. And as went for me when I was in this vision, God was saying to me, you have authority to bind and to loose. Prayer unlocks the purposes of God. As a church, you know, prayer unlocks the purposes of God that we have together. On Wednesday, we have our VIP. We're going to be praying into vision and strategy for 07 because we need to unlock some things for this year. We need to command some things to do with the vision and strategy. We need to declare some things. We need to decree some things. Amen. Amen. Why can we do that? Because we simply believe that God has placed a mantle of authority on our lives that then enables us to stand in a position in the Spirit to then hear what God says, command that, or declare that, or decree it, and it must happen. God has already clothed us from on high with the Holy Spirit and power. So whether it's for us, obviously in the Old Testament, it was a physical thing that people saw, a cloak that represented that what the man of God was. But for us, we don't wear clothes that represent who we are, natural clothes. We've been empowered with the Holy Spirit. Amen. And one of the things God was showing me was, you have everything you need. It's in your spirit. You live from your spirit. You declare things from the spirit. You orchestrate things from your spirit. It's not like we're looking out there for something. That's why God comes to live inside of us. One of the things that was happening while I was there, God said to me, you have the Holy Spirit in you. You have the light of life inside of you. And so the spirit realm, good or evil, whatever, knows who you are all of the time, whether you're walking down through the town, whether you're driving along in the car, whether you're at home, whether you're asleep, whatever you're doing at any given moment, you are recognized for who you are because you have the light of life inside you. And that light of life never goes out. That light of life is always there. It's shining, and both angelic and demonic see who you are. But they only move according to how you operate in who you are. So the spirit realm recognizes the authority. You can be 5 years old and you have the authority of God when you have God in your life and the Holy Spirit in you. Whether you can be 95. This is no respecter of age or persons. If somebody understands who they are in God, somebody, you younger guys this morning, you know who Jesus is. You have the Holy Spirit in your life, and therefore you can tell the devil, you can tell all kinds of demonic things where to go, what to do, because you have authority in the name of Jesus. And you can then release the things of God, the purposes of God, because you have God in you. You have the life of Christ in you, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we can determine what goes on. You know, when you understand that, you don't feel like you have to try and make something happen. See, this guy after Elijah, this guy Elisha, began to raise the dead. Miracles began to happen through him. All kinds of supernatural things were going on. But he was bold. He wasn't shy in coming forward. He weren't, were you? Which is great, fits in well. But he wanted what he had. Now we just use this illustration. We're not talking about older and younger people this morning. What we're talking about is the Holy Spirit has clothed us from on high with power. And God wants us to be like Elisha, where we don't just wear the thing, but we use what God has given us. And we use it quickly. You see, straight away, Elisha picked it up and straight away he used it. And what happened at that moment? All the prophets saw that what had been on Elijah was now on Elisha. As quick as that. There wasn't a whole introductory period. There wasn't a waiting time. There wasn't, you know, anything. They saw it's gone from there to there. Now, if the prophets can understand that, what goes on in the spirit? They recognize who we are as individuals and who we are as a church. And God wants us to be bold in who we are. Amen. Wednesday night, we're going to have an awesome time on Wednesday, just with a fresh understanding of releasing and unlocking the purposes of God. It's like for us as a body, as a church, stepping up to another level in prayer, level of authority, level of boldness. It's like not saying, God, would you please do that, but instead standing there commanding what should be happening, releasing what should be happening, decreeing what needs to be going on in a greater measure over our town, our region, and our nation. Amen. It's good, isn't it? But you see, if we understand this, changes your prayer life. God said to me in this, at that moment, it's not your many words that will do things. It's literally saying what I give you to say. There's a difference between you just spending some time with the Lord, worshiping and fellowshipping with the Lord and listening to the Lord and reading the Word and just writing stuff down and just developing that. And there's a difference between, right, now's the time to command some things, release them. There's that relationship that is time with somebody where you're just talking to the Lord, you're listening to Him, you're just fellowshipping, you're meeting with Him like that. But then there's times to get on your feet and say, right, because we know Him, because He is in us, there's then things that we can do in His name, with His authority. And that's then where we go from the relationship. And then from that relationship, from the life that is inside of us, we can then possess what He's given us to possess. Whether it's seeing people saved, whether it's impacting our town, whether it's seeing behavior change across our town, whether it's something happening in our region or something changing in our nation. When we were up with Claire and Alan in the week, they were saying that various things that happen in Manchester, whether there's a whole move of crime or gun crime or whatever it is, and as they've gathered as a church and prayed into that, they said literally the next day, gangs have been arrested and all the shootings have stopped and all kinds of things, but very, very quickly things have changed. Why? Because as they've stood in that position in the Spirit as a church over that city of Manchester, they've taken authority over things that shouldn't be happening, and because they've taken authority, they then stop happening. Amen. It's cool, isn't it? Only a few people in one prayer meeting stop something happening over a whole city. Wow. Why? Because that's the authority of God in our lives. It's not our own authority. It's not trying to come out of our own ability and strength, but it's this mantle that it comes upon us individually, that comes upon us as a church, to then exercise that authority in the Spirit. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand up, shall we? Let's give Swarbs. I'll have my jacket back. Cool. Come on, let's give him a big round of applause. Excellent. Cheers, mate. Bless you. Now, you already have that mantle on your life, okay? You have already been clothed with power from on high. Amen. Now, most of you this morning, at this, you probably don't feel like you're clothed with power. A lot of the time, you don't feel like you're 6 foot six, 10 foot nine. Curtis, can you just quickly come up here a sec? Just, can you stand just over there a minute? Okay. It'd be great. And face me. Just over there, a bit further away. Yeah, cool. Now, don't look too mean. Now, Curtis is slightly taller than me, okay? But you see, what does the devil want to do? He wants to make everything look much bigger than you are. And he wants us to feel that the closer, the more we move forward, the bigger the opposition appears. Right? But the enemy himself, he's already been defeated. So his nickname is Stubby, okay? He's already been disarmed. So if he's been defeated and disarmed, what has he got left? His mouth. So if he has been disarmed and defeated, yeah, go on your knees for a minute, defeated, it puts a different perspective on it. So as I move forward in what God says, all the enemy's going to do is say things to me, shout at me, lie to me, try and undermine what God has said to me. He's going to just come out with all sorts of rubbish because he knows he's disarmed and defeated. And so as we move in the purposes of God and the devil starts shouting things.
Yeah?
Shout anything. What would the devil say to me? Just.
Well, carry on.
Just say, you know, you're useless, you're rubbish.
You are rubbish, aren't you? You're useless.
Oh, no. Just shout, make it sound really convincing.
You're rubbish. Gosh, I can't really do that.
We're just acting, right? The whole thing's an act, all right?
It is. Yeah. I get smaller.
Listen, I actually work at Tesco's, but I only do this on Sunday mornings, yeah. Okay.
Not true.
Okay, so the enemy's going to shout all sorts of stuff, isn't he? How many of you know the closer you get to somebody, when they're shouting, the more you smell how bad their breath is?
Me, thanks.
I'm not saying that about your breath, Curtis. I'm just... because I know once you stand up, I'm going to have to run fast. Because all the devil has is his mouth. And so often what we do when the enemy is shouting is we continue to walk to him. And we listen more to him. And he's shouting away and he's declaring things and we get closer and closer until we begin sometimes to believe what he's saying. Because so often we go by what we feel. And how many of you know that words make you feel things? So if somebody comes along and says, somebody says something really encouraging to you, what happens? You feel lifted, right? But if somebody turns up and tells you something grotty, what does that do? It deflates you. And so the enemy wants to deflate us. So as we listen more to him, we get deflated. And sometimes it's like, why do we walk towards the enemy like that? If the enemy's shouting, he's deciding, why don't we just walk the other way? And you find that when you walk the other way, the voice becomes more and more distant, becomes quieter and quieter because you're ignoring it. And I think sometimes, you know, we take authority over the enemy and we do this, that, or the other, and we stand there and we shut your mouth and be quiet and da-da-da-da-da and da-da-da-da-da. And the enemy's going, oh, I'm just going to keep shouting because I've totally distracted them. And we just keep, I bind you, and then, I shut your mouth, and da-da-da, and da-da-da, and da-da-da. And the Holy Spirit is over there going, oi! Forget the devil, come this way. There's something a lot more exciting over here. So we're not talking about standing in the Spirit and saying, the name of Jesus, devil, you know, and all this focus. We're standing there. What I saw was commanding, decreeing, releasing, and as we just simply said what God said, God released his angelic beings to overcome whatever was going on. It wasn't us trying to take them on. Amen. We were just there doing that in the name of Jesus, and boom, all sorts of things were happening. People were getting saved, lives were being healed, you know. Stuff was just happening all over the place. Miracles happening. This is what I saw. Lives being transformed. Cities being changed. All that as we just stood there doing whatever God had told us to do. Amen. It's great, isn't it? Now, it's interesting, isn't it, that also the further you walk away from the shouts of the devil, the smaller he becomes. Right? So it's not, right, the devil's having a go at me, so I need to kick him out of the way so I can get to where I'm going. The enemy, what, he won't stand in your way. He wants to distract you to go off a different direction. He knows if you're moving in the purpose of God and he stands in the way, he's just going to get bowled over. So he stands over there trying to get your attention so that you take your eye off where you're going and you're like, that's interesting, yeah, actually, yeah, that's, yeah, quite, yeah. Because he starts with a bit of subtlety, doesn't he? And he tends to pull us that way. He won't stand so obviously there and go, you're an idiot. And you go, well, that's the devil, isn't it? And so he always will make it subtle. Yeah. Amen. Yeah, right. So the further you go in the purpose of God, the smaller the enemy seems to become. Yeah. Amen. 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 Let's give Curtis a big round of applause, shall we? Kiss you, mate. Thanks. OK. Now, Wednesday's going to be a great evening, just dictating the traffic in the spirit, OK? You might have a vision of having some massive foam hands in the spirit, and you're there and you're just commanding whatever going on. That might help you. And I'm talking to the adults now, not the kids. Just, but you take authority over your own life. You allow what you allow. Be vigilant in who you are. When you get up in the morning when you first get up is not the best time to be governed by your feelings, is it? But when you get up in the morning, you're already the light of life, or the light is already in operation in your life. When you get out of bed in the morning, the spirit realm recognizes who you are, knows who you are. So you're going downstairs a bit like this, wishing you were back in bed, but you're going to put the kettle on, you're making a cup of tea, you're trying to come round a little bit and get up and get on with the day, begin to pray, whatever you need to do. But you need to remember, as you go down the stairs, or as you walk into your kitchen, you flick the kettle on, it's like you got the call of God on your life. You have the anointing of the Holy Spirit on your life. You might feel a million miles away at that moment from feeling like you've just had an encounter with God. But you still have the call of God on your life. You are anointed. You have this mantle of authority on you, this cloak. You might be in your pajamas. You might be in your dressing gown. You might be in your boxers, whatever you wear when you go and make your cup of tea. But you have this cloak, this mantle of anointing, of authority from heaven, God's authority and life on you, in you. What a way to start the day. Even before you've said anything, it's like in the spirit you're like this. With your brew. Okay, Holy Spirit, what are we doing this morning? Today's going to be a day of... Every morning, the first thing that I normally say is I thank God that today is going to be a day of victory. Amen. Because it's not worth having any other kind of day, is there? Why? Because we start with victory. Yes, we're going to have things come our way that try and wind us up, get us upset, can cause us to be, try and get us to be negative and all that. But if we're starting right, today's going to be a day of victory. So right from the beginning, I take authority over this day. I bind everything that's going to try and destroy me, destruct everything and try and get me off my way. And I just declare today is going to be a day where I walk in the purposes of God. I'm going to bless people, love people, going to whatever. All right? So it's like I determine the kind of day that I have. You know, I choose today to have a good attitude and response to people that I come across, whatever's going on. Do you know what I mean? And if you start the day like that, you seem to be more aware of what's going to happen during the day. You're more aware of the Holy Spirit going, oi, oi, oi. Don't say that. You're about to say something. Oi, shh. You know, you get some of that warning by the Holy Spirit. Do you not? I do anyway. And it just helps you to stay in that place of, yeah, actually, it's not just about me doing my life and adding the spiritual bits here and there. It's what I represent in the spirit. That where I'm walking in town, whether I'm in my job, wherever you are, you represent the kingdom of God. You represent something of heaven on earth. You represent an authority of God walking around on the planet. That's incredible, isn't it? That's why Jesus said the kingdom's not here or there, but the kingdom is within you. So you carry the kingdom. You're a kingdom person. The light of life is in you. The Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit is upon you. When you go into your office, you know, you can walk across the threshold of your office. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over today. Today's going to be a day of victory. You might have people coming against you at work. You know, in the name of, I silence every attack today. Do you know what I mean? I release the favor of God into my workplace. I release the favor of God around me today as I'm working. As whoever I meet, the favor of God is going to shut some people's mouths. It's going to open up things for me in this place. Amen. It's like not letting the weather, I mean the circumstances, dictate to us, but we dictate the circumstances. Why? Because simply we understand that we have a position in the Spirit. Because of who God is in our lives and who He's made us. You have an authority because you are in Christ. Because you're a child of God. You're an heir with Christ. Therefore, you have an authority in you, about you, whether you ever feel it or not. To be honest, at this moment, I feel absolutely nothing. I just feel like me standing on a stage talking to you lot. I don't feel like I'm in the flow of the Holy Spirit. I don't feel like there's an anointing on my life. I've got no goosebumps. My hands are not cold. They're not hot. I'm not shaking anywhere. I just feel like a 39-year-old bloke standing on a stage talking to a bunch of other blokes and ladies about who we are in Christ, who God is in our lives, and what it means to be a believer. And if we simply believe that, mountains move. The purposes of God are released. Things happen in our lives. Amen. Let's all just raise our hands, shall we? Just thank the Lord that this morning He has clothed you with power from on high. Just thank Him. Forget how you feel this morning. Just put the circumstances of things maybe that are going on in your life just behind you for a sec and just thank Him that you are anointed with the Holy Spirit and power, that the mantle of the Holy Spirit has come upon you with God's authority, that you stand as a man or a woman of God in the Spirit. However old you are, you stand in the Spirit in a position that only you can fill because God has placed His hand upon your life. And there's things that you decree, you release, you unlock in the purposes of God because of the call and the hand of God on your life. And so God wants you to be like Elisha today, that boldness and that confidence that says, God, I want that unlimited measure of your life to flow through my life today, this week, in every facet of my life. I thank you that you've anointed me. I thank you that I take authority. Now just declare about today that today is a day of victory. Just declare that this week is a week of victory. Just declare now over your workplace that this week is going to be a week of the favor of God being released in your workplace. Wherever it may be, whatever situation, as the kids go back to school, the favor of God is going to go before you. As you walk into people's lives this week, meeting mums and parents and all of that, God is opening up opportunities for us to step into because you represent the release of life for somebody else's life. And for all the kids, all of and you got young people, all those at school and college and uni, as you go back this week, you are the light of life in your place of education. You carry an authority from God. You might be 6 years old, 7 years old, 8 years old. You could be 15, 20. But the Holy Spirit has come upon you in power. And you have an authority in God. Even at a young age, you can pray before you go to school in the morning. And you can command, your day is going to be a great day. You can release the favor of God in your classroom, in the playground. It's great, isn't it? Because God has highly favored you. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you that you just continue to give us more and more understanding and revelation of just the awesomeness of who you are in our lives. Father, wherever we contain your truth, your word, your life, because we might struggle in the way we see ourselves and say, well, can God really use me like that? And, well, I feel this, or, well, I've only been a Christian a few months. See, the great thing about God, it's His life in us. It's him in us. It's awesome, isn't it? And all he says is, just believe me. Believe who I am in you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Just turn around to five people and say, you're anointed. You've got the mantle of the Holy Spirit upon you. You're going to have a great week.